Welcome to today's deep dive. In almost every area of engineering, there's this comforting, I guess, brute force logic. Like if a bridge needs to hold heavier trucks, you just use thicker steel.
Right.
Or if you need to move more water, you build a wider pipe. So you'd naturally think that to push more electricity through a massive industrial switchgear, you just, bolt in thicker copper bars.
Yeah, you would think that, but you would be completely wrong. Once you hit a certain threshold of electrical current, that whole intuitive rule just kind of shatters.
Oh, really?
Yeah, adding more raw mass doesn't increase capacity at all. You actually have to abandon the standard rectangular copper bar entirely. You have to change the physical geometry of the metal, which is why engineers rely on something called a D-profile bus bar.
Okay, let's unpack this, because looking at the blueprints for these systems, the standard flat copper bar, the one we're all used to, it works perfectly fine up to about 2,500 amps.
Exactly, up to 2,500.
But above 2,500 amps, the current just stops utilizing the whole bar. It's almost like widening a busy highway to handle more traffic, only to find all the cars stubbornly refusing to leave the outer lanes.
Oh, that traffic analogy actually captures the physical limitation perfectly. The electrons essentially just ignore those brand new middle lanes.
Wow.
And this happens because at these extreme currents, the system's capacity isn't dictated by the volume of copper anymore.
Right.
It's dictated by how alternating current physically distributes itself. So to fix it, you use a D-profile bar.
And what does that look like physically?
Well, it retains one flat face, so you can still securely bolt connections to it. But the entire back is smoothly rounded.
Okay.
It's, extruded from the exact same electrolytic copper as a flat bar at a mill, never bent in a shop.
Right, so it's the exact same material.
Yes. But that rounded back fundamentally changes where the electrons are allowed to travel.
So what exactly is forcing the current to act like those, those stubborn drivers crowding the outer lanes in a flat bar?
Right, so there are three invisible phenomena native to alternating current. You've got skin effect, edge effect, and proximity effect.
Okay.
And what's fascinating here is how the rounded geometry mathematically outsmarts those forces.
How so?
Because alternating current is constantly reversing direction, right? It creates alternating magnetic fields inside the conductor.
Right, okay.
These fields push the flowing electrons outward. They basically crowd them toward the surface. And that is the skin effect.
Right, but a standard rectangular bar has an outer surface too, obviously. So why is a flat bar suddenly a problem?
Well, that's because of the edge effect.
Okay.
Electrons don't just move to the surface. They pack really densely into sharp 90-degree corners.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and that crowding creates intense electrical friction. So by smoothing the back of the bus bar into that D shape, you eliminate the sharp corners.
You strip away the edge effect.
Exactly. You force the current to spread much more evenly across the entire physical cross-section.
But the shape alone doesn't seem to solve the third issue, which is the proximity effect. I mean, inside a switchgear, you have three massive copper phase bars sitting side by side, right?
Yes. And this is where the physics get truly aggressive. Every wire carrying alternating current acts like an electromagnet.
Right.
When you place three of these massive copper bars close together, their magnetic fields interact. The magnetic field radiating from one phase penetrates the neighboring bar.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it exerts a physical force on its flowing electrons, violently pushing them to one side of the metal.
So it's basically shoving all the traffic to one side of the highway.
Exactly. And this asymmetrical crowding creates a really severe localized hotspot. And since copper's resistance rises by roughly 0.4% for every degree Celsius it heats up, you enter a dangerous feedback loop.
Because the hotter it gets, the more it resists.
Right. The more it resists the current, which just makes it even hotter.
Okay, hold on. I need to challenge this.
Sure.
If that severe hot spot is caused by massive amounts of current pushing the electrons around, couldn't I just derate the panel? Like, if I intentionally run less current through the system, shouldn't that proximity effect disappear?
You would think so. Yeah, but the severity of the proximity effect is actually dictated by the frequency of the alternating current and the physical spacing between the phases.
Not the actual current value.
No, not the amplitude of the current itself.
Mm.
Turning down the raw power doesn't change the frequency of those alternating magnetic fields.
Oh, right, because it's still like 60 hertz or whatever.
Exactly. The waves keep crashing into the neighboring bar at the exact same rate. You can't just derate your way out of the hotspot.
So what can engineers do?
Well, they really only have two tools to fight it. They can increase the physical distance between the bars, or they can use the D-profile shape to better manage that uneven distribution.
Which leads to this massive contradiction in the blueprints. Looking at ABB's Unigear ZS1 switchgear, they deploy these D-shaped bars for the main systems, right? Handling up to 4,000 amps.
Yep, that's right.
But when you look at the feeder conductors and the branches inside the exact same panel, they immediately revert back to standard flat bars. If the D shape is this magic bullet for heat and distribution, why on earth aren't they using it everywhere?
It basically comes down to a brutal fight between electrical theory and mechanical reality. Think about trying to physically bend a solid, rigid piece of extruded copper that's thicker than your arm.
Yeah, I imagine you can't.
Can't. The main D profile bus bars run in long, straight, continuous lines. They carry the full rated load constantly, suffering the worst of the skin and proximity effects.
But they don't require complex bending.
Right. They just go straight.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because it reminds me of human anatomy.
Oh, really? How so?
Well, the main D-shaped bus bar acts like the aorta. It's this massive, pre-manufactured superhighway pumping the heavy, continuous supply. But all the branch connections are the capillaries.
Oh, that is a great way to think about it. Yeah, those capillaries have to snake through incredibly tight spaces inside the panel. A workshop technician has to cut, punch, and physically contort those smaller bars to weave around complex components right on the shop floor.
And a rigid D-profile extrusion simply can't be worked like that without destroying it.
Exactly. You can't bend it like that.
So you just accept the slight electrical inefficiency of the flat bar and the branches because they only carry a fraction of the current for short distances.
Right. And you desperately need the physical flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
When dealing with alternating current at massive scales, you have to design for how the physics behave while still acknowledging the mechanical limitations of the fabricator.
Smart geometry beats raw material bulk, but practical construction still has a seat at the table.
Exactly.
Well, I want to leave everyone with one final detail from the source material that genuinely shifted my perspective on this. We've focused heavily on current distribution and managing heat, but the engineering specs reveal that electrodynamic forces, not the continuous heat rating, actually dictate where these heavy bus bars must be physically bolted to the wall.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Right. If the magnetic fields generated by the alternating current are strong enough to violently push electrons to one side of a thick copper bar, imagine the physical strain during a sudden massive power surge.
Right, the sheer mechanical stress.
Exactly. It isn't just an invisible heat issue, it is actively trying to rip those heavy metal bars right off their mounts.
That is wild.
It really is. It just proves that when you are playing with thousands of amps, the invisible forces are far more terrifying than the visible ones.